talk about you, man. Steve Cardigan.
All right, yeah.
Steve Cardigan, the scene, bro.
I'm down.
So, Star, bro, where are you from, man?
I'm from Seattle, Washington. Yeah. Seattle. Grew up there till all through high school, and then moved down to California right after, like 2 weeks after I graduated. Drove a U-Haul, me and my boy, down to Santa Barbara, 24 hours straight. We took a 1 hour nap in Sacramento, actually.
Bro.
And yeah, been here ever since.
And what made you want to come out here to LA, man? To Los Angeles.
Man, so I love Santa Barbara. It's just kind of a small town mentality, you know what I'm saying? You have the beach, you have your homies, and it was just like a slow pace. Even going back, I was just back there this weekend. It was crazy. Like, you don't even notice till you leave, bro. Like, it's so slow pace. Like, Friday night, like, graduation weekend even, it's supposed to be really busy. Like, there was just, like, yeah, the streets were, like,
totally
clear.
Active.
It was, like, I mean, it was cool, like, where, like, the bars are and everything, but, yeah. Like, around town, like, it's just, like, it's so chill, laid back. But it's, like, I don't know. I'm really glad I moved there. One of the best decisions of my life, for sure. But, I don't know. I just want to change the pace. I feel like I reached my ceiling in Santa Barbara. And LA is just, you know, where all the media,
place to be,
creativity is at,
the
man.
Scene,
so,
the hypeness, everything, huh?
Exactly.
The hustle.
Exactly.
The motherfucking hustle.
Bro, it's crazy out here. Like, it's like 6 degrees separation, you know?
Yeah.
But in LA, it's like 2, bro. So, like, I met more people in the first month moving out here than I swear I met my whole 6 years in Santa Barbara, bro. Like, it's been good. But yeah, I love LA. I love the vibe. Everybody's hustling. It's just like, yeah, it's competitive spirit, you know.
You just graduated too, huh?
Yeah, bro. Graduated. I finally got my degree. So I was commuting like an hour north twice a week. But
where'd you graduate from, man?
Cal State Channel Islands.
Cal State.
So, yeah, small little school. But yeah, got a business communication degree. So it's like there's three schools for the comm department.
Yeah.
Health, environmental, and then business entrepreneurship. And so I did that one, and yeah. So, yeah.
What do you want to do with bringing that out here in LA?
I mean, I kind of...
The scene out here.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because what I'm doing right now with the studio and everything is I was doing it while I was still studying, so like, I'm just trying to continue that now, but I have at least that degree in my pocket, so, yeah. Like, you know, my uncle always put it, he said it's the ticket to the party type shit.
Yeah,
so,
have
like,
it in the back pocket.
Yeah, just have it right there in case you need it. But
slap it on the table, bro.
Exactly, you need exactly. To. You know, just... You know, obviously, there's a whole thing about degrees being less and less important, which I agree. And I was super close to not even finishing. I was like, I need this degree. Like, let me just take some like online like certificate classes.
Just
and,
get the
you know,
money.
Marketing certificate,
yeah.
Branding certificate, and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I just started, didn't want to stop. I just wanted to push through. So, made my parents really proud. So I was stoked.
And were you working like full time here at the studio while going to school? Or?
Yeah. So yeah, the studio we have in Hollywood, we just moved to this spot like 3 weeks ago, but we had a bigger spot more towards West Hollywood for 5 months, and then it was just taxing. Like there, it was like expensive.
It was high tax out
yeah.
there. Yeah.
So we thought that we could make just you know a better profit margin. Being a little bit smaller, it's like 150 square feet less than
it's
we had.
It's sink though too, bro.
But yeah, but I like it here. I like the vibe, the lighting, exposed ceiling, wood floors. Just kind of we want to make it like a real creative vibe, so people come in here and yeah, we just want to, you know, create. So yeah.
Spread the vibes.
Exactly,
the vibes.
Bro. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
And what's your next move now, dude? Like now that you graduated and
yeah.
You're basically full time here now in the studio.
Yeah.
Hands on
exactly.
LA now. You're
exactly.
out here now, bro. So real world now.
Just trying to build this, bro. Trying to get more clients. We have like 5 clients right now that we're working pretty closely with. But over time, you know, add more employees,
yeah.
You know, pick up more projects, clients, bro, and just grow organically, you know. So yeah. So
how has the studio shaped everything for you, like being inside, getting more and more into the industry wise
yeah.
that you're seeing, like
well,
how is it?
I think what it does mostly for me, bro, is it's just like it's such a good icebreaker to be talking with somebody who is, you know, creates things and then say, oh, actually I have a media studio in Hollywood. You should come by, like kick it.
Yeah, that's a big like,
you know?
Oh,
it's
oh,
like
shit.
A good, you know, yeah. Instead of being like, hey, yo, I'll hit you up. Let's collab sometime,
yeah.
You know? So it's a tangible place that people really can come and just do their thing. So, that's been like the biggest blessing for me is just having something that you can show people that you're really serious about what you're doing, you know, like you can, you don't just have to tell them, you can show
yeah.
them, hey, yeah, like I've worked to this point and I have this now. You
it's
know?
Like the degree in the pocket, bro.
Yeah.
Just
so,
slapping it right there.
Exactly. So yeah, I like it. Yeah.
And your music, what's up with your music? Steve makes music too.
Yeah, well, actually, it's funny. So I don't even really make music as much as I just like, I DJ. So in Santa Barbara, where I just moved from, for 2 years, we had an event company. And we were doing all these events at the nightclubs in Santa Barbara. We had three clubs that we were running out of. And it was going really well. It was crazy, bro. Like, should I just touch on, like, the story of me DJing in Santa Barbara? All right, so, like...
Go ahead, bro.
So, I remember I was out... I was DJing some house parties in Isla Vista, where UCSB is.
Yeah, yeah.
And...
stories right there.
Huh? Yeah. That was good. And so, we did a few big house parties. We launched a clothing line, and we had, like, a release party. And it was at this fat house in IV. And there was a girl that came who was in one of my classes at City College. And then I was out at a nightclub called Tonic Nightclub in Santa Barbara. And she saw me. She's like, hey, oh, wait, why don't you DJ in the clubs in downtown? And I was like, I mean, I haven't really made that connection yet. I haven't, like, met anybody to get me in. And she's like, I know the owner of this club. He's here. And so she introduced me to him. He was like, oh, yeah, we're looking for some college night DJs, which is Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday instead of Barbara's college Thursday, night. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, because nobody goes to class on Friday, right?
Nah.
And so, he was like, yeah, come out. Like, I was like, yeah, we can throw a party here. Just throw, like, a little event. and, yeah. He gave us a chance. We kind of, you know, we killed it the first time. And then we just went there every single week for almost 2 years. It was a year and a half. So I was DJing there every Thursday at that spot, and then every Saturday at a spot called Matrix.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday is industry night, and I would do Tuesdays at this small, like, nightclub called Indochine, which is, they call it Windochine because they have a big ass window in the front.
Oh, really?
And everybody's always dancing, shaking ass on the window.
Windochine.
Like, yeah. So that's funny. Yeah, but it's cool. It's a cool little spot.
It's literally Windochine. Windochine.
Yeah. So we did that for a year and a half. And then when the fires happened and the mudslides happened in Santa Barbara, like, the town went dead. And the club we were doing it at, I guess they had some, like, management, like money issues type thing, and they were struggling for a while. And we were like, oh, this is, you know, like, to us, because Thursdays, we did a good job on Thursdays having, like, the college party scene.
Yeah.
Like, the hip-hop patio is what it was kind of, like, dubbed as, because we were the only place really playing the current new hip-hop for the young college demographic. Everybody else is kind of, yeah, there's a lot of older DJs in Santa Barbara, so there's a lot of like Lil Jon in every bar and shit. And so we kind of just brought, like, the new wave of music, like YB in the Mirror, like Playboi Carti and stuff, was like just two examples of, like, the new music that we were starting to play for people. And they were like, they were feeling it. So once the town went dead, and it just hurt a lot of businesses, and then the club got in a little bit of, like, trouble, I guess.
Yeah.
And then they, like, switched owners, did the lease, put the for lease sign on the front of it. And without even, like, warning us, they were like, oh, yeah, we're not going to open up next week. And we were like, what? Because to us, it was popping all the time. So we were like, oh, they're doing great. But it's not that easy. Like, nightclub industry is pretty rough. It's pretty hard sometimes. So, they closed their doors. And they said they were going to reopen during spring semester once everybody came back. Because it was right during, like, winter break. And they just never opened their doors back up. It was crazy. So, from there, it kind of just starts, you know, unwinding and lost its momentum, bro. And so at that point, 6 months later, I moved out here. I was like, you know, I'm gonna try. But I want to get a residency down in LA super bad. I've just been kind of prioritizing the studio. And
I'm trying to balance it off.
Yeah, and so I just gotta try to do it. We have a cool little team that we can, you know, bring out a couple DJs. And so I'm just trying to get into it.
And what brought you, like, into music? Like, the inspiration?
In high school,
Steve Cardigan, bro.
Yeah, in high school, I remember I heard mashups. So you remember mashups, like, were super hot in, like, 2010? They're kind of coming back again. So, like, I just, like, was really mesmerized by two songs mixing together and being even, like, better than the original songs were by themselves. I was doing, like, a bunch of these mashups. I just started, like, testing it out, like. And so I started making a lot of them. Majority of them, what's funny is they were, like, Tupac mashups, where it's, like, Tupac over, like, a new beat.
Yeah.
And so, my SoundCloud kind of started popping off, and I was like, all right, I'm going to go buy, like, SW remixes. Because I had one of my biggest inspirations was Mother Earth remixes, who made a bunch of these cool mashups back in the day. If you don't know, Google them or, like, go on SoundCloud. Super, super dope. And so I was, like, inspired by that, and I just went by SW remixes. Then I started playing at like the music. I was the MC for like the assemblies at our high school, and I played the music for the basketball games and stuff. So, but I wasn't DJing because I didn't have a controller. But I was like playing the music, and I was because I never really I never thought to be as weird as it sounds. I never like thought to be a. I mean, I was like wanted to mess around on turntables and stuff, but I never really like was like, hey, I should just DJ. Like, so I did like one school dance. I was trash. Like, I was like trying to like scratch.
From that you learned.
Yeah. And so, and then after that, it was funny. I just like moved out, got a controller in when I was in California. And then that clothing brand line that we launched, because my business partner right now, Jay, he had a brand called Jay Rare. And he's still trying to bring it back a little bit, but he used to make clothes. And so he was my roommate. We moved in randomly to the same house. Didn't even know at all. Moved into the same room as me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he was like talking. He's like, yeah, I'm
life,
trying to throw.
It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, dude, it's crazy. He's like, I'm trying to throw this party for my clothing line drop in the spring. And I was like, bro, I DJ. He's like, you don't DJ, bro. Come on. Like, I'm just like some white dude. And I was like, he's like EDM? I was like, bro, no. Like, no, come on. You know me better than that. Like, because we had lived with each other for a couple weeks at this point. And I was like, it's hip-hop, bro. Like, I've DJed. No, plenty of parties in college before. And then he's like, bring your stuff out to the living room. Brought my controller out, played some stuff, and he's like, all right, let's throw this party. And then from that, bro, we just we've been doing so we've started a lot of like projects together, everything from that event company to a nonprofit called Love Our Women to
shout
clean
out to our women
actually if our photographer comes in later, if you meet him, he has the hat on actually, so we did a travel like a cool like cultural travel guide site, like a platform that people can book and get discounts on flights and hotels and get travel loans and like the cool spots in certain cities. We did London, we did Santa Barbara
machines
but it was just me and him just kind of had like we have a lot of the same ideas and we just trust each other a lot. So if he has an idea with me, I'm like, all right, let's run it. Like, how can we start doing this?
Get it going.
Yeah. And so we actually went to Europe off that platform because we got this hotel partner and a flight partner. And they just hooked us up with like super good deals.
Remember
to go,
you told
like,
me about that Europe trip.
Yeah. So I've been to Europe back-to-back summers. My girl's Swedish, so I'm always over there now. But yeah, so cool.
Was that of inspiration to you, anything out there in that scene that helped you out with your music?
Yeah, actually, I remember you told me. So, all right. London was a huge inspiration on like my music. So I started DJing more Afrobeat music, which is basically it's like a Caribbean hip hop dance hall vibe. It's like mixed with a little bit of grunge, but grunge is like that British rap genre kind of.
Yeah,
so I came back and danced. Afrobeat music was like my thing after that. So I have a Spotify playlist that's all Afrobeat music.
I'll put all of Steve's playlist list right there in the bottom, so you guys can check it out.
Check it out. It's cool just to like put on, let it play.
And what's like, what do you plan on doing like long term with the music scene? Like, what are you trying to aim for?
Yeah, I mean, so
if you know yet,
I think. Well, for me personally, like, throwing events at nightclubs like is something that we want to get back into again, especially out here. There's so many cool clubs. Santa Barbara, we were really limited, but out here there's like unlimited cool spots you can go and
all the possibilities out here.
Yes, ATP
out
in LA.
Possibilities out here, bro.
That's right. And 100%. So that'd be really cool if we could, you know, because I think for us, our studio and our brand for the studio is called Hype and Culture. And so that kind of embodies a lot of things that we can do.
I'll put the link in bio.
Yeah. Check us out. We're doing a rebrand on our Instagram right now. So we're stacking content right now. But basically, if we could just have like a lot of avenues through that. So we could have like a studio that we do all the branding for that we're kind of in a partnership with called Black Space Studios. And they're on Sunset Boulevard. And they have a lot of producers and writers, engineers and stuff, and a couple artists. And we're doing all their branding for them out of our studio. And we want to have an event called Black Friday where we take the Black Space crew and we throw an event for them. And, you know, they
keep it going nonstop.
Yeah, they have a lot of placements, three placements on Chris Brown's album, Juice WRLD's, engineered Juice WRLD's whole last album. It's getting like triple platinum, whatever. But yeah, they're So they're cool guys over there. A lot of them are from Chicago. And so
it's all networking, huh?
Yeah, it's all networking. So it'd be cool if we could incorporate, you know, some event stuff with music. And we've thrown a few pop-up shops too. And so just that entertainment, music, culture vibe is what we would probably like to just keep going with. So to be continued.
And what's the next project that you have going on, man, for this year? This remaining half, now we're here in summertime.
Yeah.
Something you're trying to, like, just boom, knock out the way for the year?
I want to pick up more personal brands for our branding services. So now I'm talking to you about helping out with ATP and stuff.
Yeah.
That's definitely what that kind of stuff is something that I really want to focus on. There's a girl from Miami that we really want to work with that we've been talking to. We have a meeting in 2 days. And so when that happens, talk to her about that. But yeah, just personal brands, because that's what we're kind of specialize in. And it kind of all feeds off each other. So like the way we were able to brand myself through being a DJ was we were doing the nightclub stuff, right? And that just gave a reason for people to follow my brand, because I was, doing things. It wasn't just posting photos, people want to see
active. You're being active in the scene.
Yeah.
Taking action.
So I think that we can incorporate what we learned and have the system that we have down and everything, and we can help more people. We've done multiple personal brands, but right now I want to get at least 3 more for the summer. And so I want to help you out. I want to help that the girl from Miami, and then a guy from New York just flew in 2 days ago to come meet with us and shoot some content. They're on Fairfax right now, going, and then they're gonna go down to the Marathon store. He's a big Knit fan. Yeah.
Shout out to all my guys from that side.
Yep. And that's kind of like my goal right here for the next 3 months, my short-term goal. Just keep that going, because that's where we feel like we can really
reach the possibilities.
Yes.
Reach the possibilities.
More possibilities.
And would like the studio know that, what's the long-term goal with that?
Eventually,
5 years from now, you would say, bro, it's
10. Dude, so like our vision is just...
it's the vision.
The vision is make this just like the coolest media photo studio there is around. We're in Hollywood, it's pretty competitive, but when it comes to artwork and having certain people come shoot and just using this place as a creative spot, people do workshops here, pop-ups again, like just a place where people know when they come here, it's like just all business official, like going in, anything you need from, again, live, like a curated events. We've done live acoustic curated performances for artist Trevor Daniels, one of them that we did, and so we're just trying to do kind of a lot of that kind of different stuff. So
bringing
we have the space for
bringing everybody with that good energy and help everybody out.
Yeah, exactly. We just build a network. There's a lot of studios in like Atlanta and New York and other places where we're taking a lot of inspiration from, and it's just like super cool, like just to have. Just walk into a space and you can just do anything media, photo, video related. So eventually grow,
A white wall can do a lot.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
The mind can do a lot.
Exactly. So, go from one studio, make it either bigger or get another one and just like,
run activations. Go bigger.
Yeah.
Keep it going 100%.
Just keep pedaling, bro, because... Yeah, again, it's not
so
easy.
So watch out for Steve in the industry. Up and coming. And the team. What's your philosophy, bro, behind behind Steve on the everyday, on that motivational aspect? I told you I was going to hit you with that, so.
Yeah, no, I got it. It's funny. We were talking. I remember we went out, had a drink. And I'm just a big believer in just envisioning, I guess. So talking about... writing my goals down all the time. I think it's just important to keep reminding yourself every single day, because when you wake up and you have like all you live and breathe is something. So if you have like 5 goals, put all your energy towards that. Like I just feel like my philosophy is there's just no way that you can't start making progress in that if that's everything you're thinking about all the time. Because again, like you create the life you live, right? And so
exactly.
If you're not afraid to just create certain things and envision certain things and go after them like all the time, I think that again, ATP baby, all the possibilities.
ATP,
so just being really, really specific, and I write down my goals as if they've already happened, And so one of my biggest inspirations as far as entrepreneurship and business and just life in general is Charlie Rocket, Charlie Jabali, who was
a podcast, you know, man. I heard
yeah,
it,
yeah, yeah. I sent you his podcast.
Those vibes.
You liked it?
I liked it. Did, yeah.
So Charlie, again, he was the manager for 2 Chainz, made a bunch of millions of dollars in the music industry out of Atlanta. And it was like 2 Chainz, Roscoe Dash, he blew up, Travis Porter, and Young Dolph. And so he was, but he talks about how he would write his goals down every single day in his notebook. And he would always write it as if it had already happened yet. And
you gotta see yourself there already.
Yeah, you can't say, I want to do this, I want to do that. Because to you, when you write that down, like you want, that's far-fetched.
You're playing your mind, yeah, you're playing your mind.
It's far, like you're not there yet. Like it's far-fetched maybe.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you don't believe in yourself, like you can do it, but if you talk about how it's already happened, then in your
mind, it's very powerful.
Exactly, bro. It's crazy. Like you just, like people talk about manifestation all the time, but I don't usually use that word. But
what word do you use?
I say quantum, bro. So that's quantum. What Charlie says, quantum. So quantum physics. Yeah, so I'm gonna tell you the thing
quantum.
That quantum, bro. And again, that's like science, like
it's a higher belief,
stuff,
right there.
Like, and it's So Charlie actually tells a story, and you know it's crazy because I follow a lot of podcasts like Drama, you know, his short story long podcast.
Yeah.
I just randomly was on it. I mean, I listen to a lot of them, but I don't listen to every single one. And I just saw like 2 Chainz manager, and he told a story about quantum physics, Charlie, right? And he was saying how, you know, we're all connected by energy.
I heard that one. Yeah.
And how they did a study with a petri dish. They took DNA from a guy, put it in a petri dish, had him watch an emotional movie, put the petri dish on the other side of the building, and they measured that the energy coming off him and the petri dish, the substance they put it, I'm not sure if it was like tissue or blood or something, I don't know, but it would spike at the same time and he would get emotional. So it's like that kind of like thing where everything's connected and
just waves of energy.
Yeah, just waves of energy. And so it's, you know, however much you want to believe it, it's just a good, I think it's just a good philosophy, a good mentality where like everything you do really matters, right? So, and I've seen that.
Your actions.
Yeah, your actions. That, you know, there's always, it's a ripple effect, right?
Actions
and sometimes
attitude.
The ripple bounces back. And so it's like, even I've seen that in my own life here with the studio specifically. Like the reason I'm even in a studio is because Vostok, our photographer, Voss, at Sincerely Voss on Instagram. he interviewed for, to be an intern for that entertainment company. It was called The Plug. In Santa Barbara. It was like, so funny, bro, because it was right when the Future Drake project came out.
Yeah.
and so with a lot of like terms from that, we started like vibing with, and we were just fans. But yeah, we called The Plug, and he was an intern for us because I interviewed him at a Starbucks in Santa Barbara. He was right, he was taking photos for us, some videos, the nightclub stuff. And then he went to college at Davis, moved to LA after he graduated in like September. And then he just saw people, he saw a studio that was running with these cool people, and he just kept hitting them up like, hey, I'm, you know, trying to work for you guys, like, you know, I'll take photos, like, you know, just let me come around, shoot photos, don't even
want
pay
it to
me,
be in the vibe,
just want
to
get in there, right? And then he was like, hey, you two should, you know, come on board, Jay and I, because we pretty much do everything creative and business together. We're just business partners on everything, so... He like had us come in, we met everybody, vibed out, and then we ended up just working with them, kind of managing the studio side, and because they were a lot of media people, so they would you know, go do music videos. Our photographer over there, our lead one, was Glenn. He was on tour with Future in Dubai, Australia. He just got off tour from this British artist that's like, I forget, he's super like niche, like big, like
really,
yeah, he's like super popping online and everything. But I hadn't heard of him before. But he goes on tour, and they did a lot of work with Lyrical Lemonade. We actually had Lyrical Lemonade's producers, director of photography, coming in here, and they did some work in our studio, the last one and this one. So, so it's crazy because if I didn't you know, hire or, you know, have him come on the team in Santa Barbara, Voss, then I wouldn't have
that
kept in contact.
Yeah,
you know, we wouldn't have came into the studio.
You
and so again,
for
like,
a reason, bro.
Yeah, everything happens. And
blessings
so,
are lessons.
Exactly, bro. So it's just crazy. So yeah, I just believe, like, you know, just every day going after something, live and breathe it, bro. Like, you know,
you take things day by day. You have like plans, and you just go for it.
It's mostly bigger plans.
Bigger plans.
So I wrote like how I wanted to live, like specific to like. a two-story home near the beach, you know? And so, like, that kind of stuff. Like, you know, buy a car, you know, in 2019. Everything's pretty specific. Not a super long goal, but just, like, a direct...
Detailed, like, things.
Yeah, goal. And yeah, it's been good. Like, you know, there's a book I read, too, called
Yeah, well, it's one of your favorite books, man, that you would recommend.
The Slight Edge is what it's called.
It's
how every small daily decisions impacted over time create results. So it's about, like, getting a good habit a lot. Yeah. Because think about it, like, a habit, you're doing it all the time, right?
And becomes so, consistent.
Exactly, 100%. And so if you have a good habit that you're always doing, whether it's waking up early, reading 10 pages of a book a day that you can learn from, like, yeah, 10 pages, you're not going to be that much wiser in that day. I mean, you're going to read some good stuff, but over time, all those, the books you're going to read, like, how everything, every little thing you do matters. That's, like, what the book is basically premised on. So
in details and everything in everyday life.
So with that book that I read and that mindset that I was in, where everything matters, and, you know, it also had you write down your goals at the end of the book too. And so it just, like, steered me in that direction of just that mentality. And then when I heard Charlie and then he inspired me like that, it just kind of all came together. And it just, like, makes sense. Yeah. So just being positive too, man. Like, just being positivity, bro. Like, negativity stresses me out. Yeah. So obviously you can't always be happy, you know, jolly, but I think just being positive in anything you do is really important.
Being uplifting.
Yes.
It does a
good things happen
thing.
To good people type thing. Like, you know, you never know who you're gonna meet. If you're a positive person and people, like, will refer you. Just making connections, just feeling good about yourself, being, you know, happy, healthy.
Attitude, man, it's everything.
It is, bro. So
treat
again,
people, 100.
Yep. Mentality is really big. And that, you know, but if you check off certain things, you write it down a few months later, you check things off the list, like, that feels good. Like, and so, you know, Charlie says, dream crazy, dream really big, like, have specific big goals,
crazy,
right?
Like, stupid.
Yeah, yeah, like, you know, like they say, like, if you want bigger results, ask bigger questions, right? So, yeah, mentality, man. But I know that you're on the same vibe, so I feel like that's how we kind of, like, we connected in that sense. And, yeah, so we've been, you know, we talk all the time now. So, yeah.
Spreading them vibes 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
If you can go back to, like, tell yourself, a younger version of yourself, something, what would it be?
What
you would say, like, being Steve now.
Yeah.
What's something that you would definitely tell yourself?
What I would tell myself... I would say that don't worry about the opinions of other people. Like, so in high school, right?
It's the second person to say that in the podcast.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. Like people, I came from a community that was had good money in the community. A lot of my friends have pretty good money, right? I was really lucky growing up, too. Have a great family. And... But I was going, when I was picking schools to go to, right? I didn't have grades in college in high school to go to a 4-year that was around the area, like UW, which was like, you had to get like a 3.6 in high school. I had like I had like a 2.75 in high school, bro. I wasn't the best, like, student in high school. I think I was just distracted and kind of went to school just to see my homies. Like, you know, I wasn't a terrible student, you know, B's and C's, I guess. But, I passed, you know, I was an athlete, never had to miss any games for academics, so I was still passing and doing fine, but just wasn't really, like, pushing myself.
Balance.
Yeah. And again, I was always just really, really worried about what other people were going to think about me where I went to college. And so instead of picking the sensible route, which is going to be probably going to junior college for a couple of years, save some money, you know, I was so set on going to a 4-year. I had to go to a 4-year, or I would be embarrassed because everybody... the high school I went to, Bainbridge High School, right outside Seattle, six miles west of Seattle, which is on the water, in the Puget Sound. So you take a ferry boat. It's a 30 minute ferry. Yeah. And it's super pretty up there, but I was just real. It's like goop, right? The general opinions of other people. I was swimming in goop, right? And
it's a nice way to put it.
Yeah. And
the
so
goop, the goop,
the goop. And I remember I was like 4-year university or bust because, you know, I don't want to be that guy that goes to a junior college. And I was so, because I thought there was like a stigma about it because, oh, you must be dumb if you go to a junior college. And then it was like 2 weeks before I was going to go to San Francisco to a school called the Academy of Art University, which is like a small liberal arts school right in the downtown San Francisco. Toured it and everything, like loved it. But I just like, with my family's like financial situation in high school, it was just, I should have just been like, all right, I'm gonna go to junior college. Like that's the smartest route, but I just wouldn't let it go. And so it came to the like 2.5-3 weeks before I was gonna leave. My parents were like, hey man, like we can't afford it. And I was like, all right. So I called my homie who was coming to Santa Barbara to play basketball, Rico, my best friend since like I was five. And he was always trying to get me to come to Santa Barbara. And he was like, I called him and I was like, hey, I'm coming to Santa Barbara with you. Like super like crazy. And he was like, yes, let's go. Like he didn't ask questions. Like what happened? He was like, bet, like let's go. And so that was just, but that was still one of, see that right there, one of the best decisions of my life was, I mean, to pursue going to Santa Barbara with him. And so I could have, you know, stayed around Washington, gone to a JUCO there. But my parents could afford an out-of-state junior college way easier than a four-year, which is, you know, I should have, yeah, had that mentality from the get-go, like junior college, because I think it's really good, man. I sharpened my academics. I became a way better student in college because I was just more serious. I kind of realized, like, all right, whoa. Like,
yeah, you left home.
Yeah, can't mess around out here. Yeah. Like, I can't waste my parents' money. I can't waste their time. They, you know, they're blessing me with this opportunity. I want to make them happy, you know, make them not regret allowing me to come to Santa Barbara. They were totally with it, though. They were like, hey, you know what, like, we're going to support you 100%. So, yeah, just like that, I was in Santa Barbara. But again, goes back to just, just don't worry about what other people think, man. Like, don't worry, you know. Not even like, just don't care what people think. It's more like, don't let what people think dictate what you should do for yourself, your family, you know, what's best for yourself, you know. So, So it was good. It was a blessing. I'm glad I went to junior college for sure.
Did you go straight out of high school?
Yeah.
Kept on the knowledge, huh?
Yeah. What's funny too, I was still late, right? I was still late to go into junior college, like to Santa Barbara, that the classes were all full basically. So I took like PE classes my first semester, like swimming. I did track and field.
Okay.
I did track and field my second year because I didn't have enough units or credits, right? To even play sports. So I was, even if I wanted to play baseball, because I was a baseball player in high school, I wasn't enrolled to be in the baseball class or on the baseball team. Because it's kind of like it's walk-ons there. You know, there's no scholarships usually in junior college baseball. So you can kind of just like try out for the team, but I couldn't even do that because I didn't have enough units. So I came late. I got an internship though my first semester because I wanted to be busy. I didn't want to just be sitting
Take
around.
Yourself on it,
Yeah, so I got an internship at a news station an hour north of Santa Barbara. And I would go twice a week, Wednesdays and Fridays, at 3 a.m, bro.
Really, dude?
Because the morning show starts so early. They go on air at 5, and I had to be there at 3. And so I was getting up at 2 a.m, bro, 1:30 a.m, walking across Isla Vista to a Zip Car, and Zip Carring, because I didn't have a car, Zip Carring an hour north. Until 7:30, and then back twice a week. So like, bro, I would literally walk to my car, and there would still be parties like going on. I was like going to work like twice a week. Like it's so funny, but I think but I didn't. I had I applied to every news station that I could to be an intern.
You kept yourself focused, huh?
Yeah, and that was the only one that hit me back. Only one that hit me back was KCOY News in Santa Maria. And it was like the morning, I was a shadow director and producer for them, did some anchoring like work, like not on camera, just like made my reel. And then I transferred that to sports broadcasting at Santa Barbara City College. So that's kind of where like my broadcast media love came into it. I always wanted to be a radio DJ for some reason. And then I had a teacher in college.
You can do that on the side.
Yeah, you never know. Hey, I'm still trying, the podcast thing and everything, that's like, This era's version of like a radio host is like having your own podcast.
Yeah, no, it is.
So I had a teacher in at SBCC, and she was like, she would take a break in the middle of her class to go smoke a cigarette. And so she's like, all right, 5 minute break, go out. She's like, well, Brock, come here. And I was like, what's up? She goes, hey, you want to be a radio broadcaster? Because she asked what we all wanted to do. I was like, I want to be a radio broadcaster. She's like, you want to be a radio broadcaster? Radio's dying. TV isn't. You're not ugly. Do TV. And I was like, for sure. All right. And so I like wanted to do more like broadcast media on camera shit. So yeah, man. So that's just like Yeah, just do what is good for you, because if I did that from the, you know, that was the biggest blessing in my life, was going to Santa Barbara. So if I just did me the whole time, I wouldn't have stressed about it, wouldn't have had to, I could have gotten those classes the first semester and everything. But everything happens for a reason, bro.
Where do you find the momentum, bro, that energy? Like, what is it that, like, what's that energy? Because I definitely, Steve has energy. It's a yeah. vibe.
I don't know. I think my mom, she's pretty energetic. My dad's funny too. And so I think just like just who I am, my DNA, I'm kind of an energetic person. But when it comes to like positive energy and stuff, I think just like the energy going towards like business stuff. I think Jay, my business partner, has been the biggest influence on my life as in going for like starting businesses, being an entrepreneur.
Just going for it.
And so I kind of like once I started doing that and realized like, oh, I can, you know, do things that are fun like this and make money from it and build connections and then create something bigger down the road. Like, it's all
open
possible.
Open doors.
All the possibilities. It's all
the possibilities, yeah. Benji. Yeah.
And,
like a home run.
Mm-hmm. Right, straight up, bro. So, yeah, that's what I would say.
That's where you find the energy. What else? But definitely, though, I think this is Steve's podcast, then. Steve's podcast.
Nah, it's yours, bro.
Thank you guys for listening and seeing what's up with Steve. You guys can check him out. I'll leave everything in the bio. Young Steve Cardigan. His last name is iconic as fuck.
This is a brand name, actually.
Cardigan. Really?
No cap, yeah. My real last name is Wellbrock, actually.
Really?
But, yeah, but I just, we're trying to have a brand name for me when I was DJing.
Yeah.
And
I thought about it too, and I was like, is that really his
last name? Yeah, no, people think that too, and that's another thing why we liked it, is because it could be like a last name, I guess, like, I'm sure the people with the last name Cardigan maybe
yeah.
not, I don't know.
That name, bro, Steve Cardigan.
Yeah, I thought it sounded nice. You know, the Instagram name was available, the domain was available, and we just, it's funny, we checked it because we were in London, and that was like what I went by in London, because I didn't want to go by my old
name. I
know
the story, guys, either. So.
Yeah, you do?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. So, yeah, we thought of Steve Cardigan, and then, yeah.
That's sick, man,
But I appreciate you having me, bro.
Yeah, thank you, man, for checking out the ATP podcast, for coming through.
Yeah.
Guys, I want to do some photography, bro, so your space a bit.
Yeah.
You guys check him out, All Vibes. Check out everything he mentioned. And thank you, brother, for the podcast.
Thank you.